You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's Corner House podcast. I'm Dave Petty, AV technician here at Corner House, and joining me today are regular contributor Andy Willis and our Livewire critic Jay Crosby. In this week's Film Focus, we'll be taking a look at Gerardo Naranjo's Mexican drug war thriller, Miss Bala. Ahead of Saturday's late-night Halloween screening of The Evil Dead, Corner House staff members and certified gorehounds Marshall Trower and Tom Summers give us their thoughts on Sam Raimi's diabolical debut. And, of course, stay tuned for our What's On guide and our staff recommendation of the week. So, the film, Miss Bala. Jay, if you could tell us a little bit about the film, that would be fantastic.
Miss Bala is about a willowy Mexican girl called Laura Guerrero, played by Stephanie Sigmund, who along with a friend, enter a beauty pageant contest. One night they go to a police party where it's raided by opposing team, and Laura is captured and used as part of a drug cartel.
And Andy Willis, what did you think of the film?
I quite liked it, actually. I found it was interesting in that it kind of worked along certain generic lines. There's a kind of trend or kind of cycle of films in Mexico about drug smuggling over the borders. And so I think it's a film that's kind of in dialogue with that kind of more conventional mainstream thriller. I thought this one kind of plays with us as an audience all the time. The central character is very passive. She never really seems to make any decisions. And I think that makes her quite difficult to identify with. So we're always kind of kept at a distance. So I found it quite engaging in that it was making me think all the time, but not necessarily delivering what we might expect generically.
We were mentioning earlier about, you said it's not necessarily a particularly enjoyable film to watch. I mean, I personally thought it was gorgeously shot. It's not very kinetic. It's really nicely, slowly paced. But I just felt the script, it's very erratic. It sort of lurches from one scenario to the next with little care for the minor details. I mean, there's Jose Yankwe's DEA agent. His character's quite important in the film, but he's barely sketched out. And considering it's loosely based on a true story, you feel characterisation being skipped over and over again in favour of gunfights, from what I could see anyway. Jay, what did you think?
I felt the film suffered with major pacing issues. The film loses its focus within the first about centre way through and kind of collapses in on there. It tries to pick itself back up. It ends with a very pessimistic ending, and that which is always consistently backed up by Stephanie's performance without vocalisation, just quite a lot of facial expressions, and you've got to play from there. I found you have to draw too much out of the film, which sounds very lazy on my behalf, but sometimes you want something handed to you slightly rather than consistently have to be drawn out of it.
Well, that's an interesting point, Jay, because I thought that, for me, that was some of its strengths, that it didn't leave you kind of passively watching it. You had to be quite active. When it got to some kind of the action set pieces, so it's not going to spoil a film, but there is a kind of big set piece shootout, but it doesn't actually ever present that on screen in the way that you might expect it to conventionally be presented. So it's shot at a very low angle with some quite long tracking shots. So it doesn't stitch you into action in the way that action films normally do. So I think in a way it's a more thinking person's film in that it's not offering us a genre that we can just passively follow. It's actively encouraging us to engage and think about the film as we're watching it. Now, that becomes more interesting for me when, as you've been saying, a lot of the characterization doesn't draw you into the characters. So you're actually thinking about it, but at some kind of distance, which, given that it's focusing on, you know, that kind of moment of which we're seeing on the news all the time, the kind of drug cartels in Mexico, it seems to be kind of helplessness seems to be at the core of it. The central character is helpless to do anything about her situation, which seems to me almost kind of a metaphor for maybe, you know, wider issues within Mexico where people just feel totally helpless about doing anything. So the drug enforcement agency seems just as corrupt as the gangsters. We see some of the gangsters as quite sympathetic at moments and really nasty at other moments. It just really, I think, mixes up all the simplicity that we normally get in genre films.
I think it really depends the way you kind of watch the film and the way you're wanting to read the film. I mean, you sort of seen it as quite a good thing that you have to put the effort in because nothing is handed to you on a plate. But for me...
It's art film, Dave. not Hollywood film.
Indeed, no, I understand. I mean, it's not a particularly happy ending either, far from it. But a film that I honestly couldn't help compare it to, I mean, this in itself may be a bit of a lazy comparison, but I did feel that Maria Full of Grace, which we've shown at Corner House quite a few years back now, dealt with a similar kind of subject matter, but just felt like a much better, much more rounded film. But to be perfectly honest, they are both completely different styles, and you know, there's a lot going for Miss Barla, but it just personally wasn't the film for me. So if you think Miss Barla is for you, opens this Friday, the 28th of October. You can watch the trailer and check screening times on our website. Just go to cornerhouse.org/film.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Cornerhouse, Manchester.
Now it's time for the What's On Guide. This Saturday, 29th of October, sees the return of Zombie Pride to Legends on Whitworth Street, a Dress to Distress Halloween extravaganza. Featuring a creep show from drag outfit Tranarchy, a zombie Vogue-off, the Blige Sisters Chapel of Death, and DJs Until Late. For more information, search Zombie Pride on Facebook. This coming Monday, we're holding a one-off screening of Jean-Luc Godard's 1965 science fiction classic Alphaville as part of our current six-week course on modernism. Andy, can you tell us a little bit more about the film?
Yeah, well, I mean, Alphaville's probably one of Jean-Luc Godard's best films and one of his most well-known films. I think people who find some of his later work quite difficult enjoy that kind of mid-60s period. This is made in 1965, and it's just as he's moving into his more kind of politicised moments. It's an interesting kind of hybrid of a science fiction film and a hard-boiled thriller, and it really is typical of Godard in that period playing around with genres. It's interesting in relation to Miss Balla that this film too is a film, I think, that has certain generic codes and conventions that the audience expect, but Godard plays with them, hence it being on the modernism course. It's got a great performance by Eddie Constantine, who's an American actor who made lots of films in Europe in the 1960s, and so Godard uses his persona as a well-known kind of actor in international espionage films and things like that, in his role as the iconic Lemmy Caution. So it's a great kind of dystopian science fiction film. Amazingly, it's set way in the future, but they didn't build any sets, they didn't do anything apart from just shoot in Paris of 1965, and yet they make it look like this modernist future kind of environment. It's really, really good film, and if people haven't seen it, I would recommend they go and see it. And if they have seen it, it's one of those films, as they say, it's a film that keeps giving, so every time you go to see it, you'll get something else out of it. I'm likely to be there. I don't think there'll be that many tickets available because it's a film that's as part of one of the courses, so I would encourage people to maybe book if Alphaville's something that you fancy next week.
Thank you very much, Andy. Alphaville screens next Monday, the 31st of October. And as Andy said, there are a few tickets still left for those who want to see the film, but who aren't booked on the course. The next Corner House Guest Network is brought to you by Brainwash, a collective of film enthusiasts who organise events in London, Manchester, Birmingham, Paris and New York. Corner House Creative Industries programme manager Isabel Quasson spoke to Sing Lee from Brainwash to find out more.
So this Friday we've got another one of our guest network event where we welcome one of Manchester's many network of creative people. So I'm here with Singh Lee, who is one of the organisers of Brainwash Manchester. So Singh, can you just tell us a little bit more about what Brainwash is?
Brainwash, yes. It's a young film collective. I think it started in London and various people taking it to New York, well, events in New York, Birmingham, Paris, Manchester and obviously in London, and I think we just aim to showcase fresh short films, fresh music videos, anything that's innovative and inspiring, just to help gain more exposure to young filmmakers.
And so what can people expect of the night on Friday?
An eclectic mix of short films, animations, comedies, you know, some quite experimental, some really nicely narratively structured, so all sorts really, hopefully appeals to all sorts of people.
And would people be able to network and meet other people? What kind of people come to Brainwash nights normally?
I'd say hopefully we're trying to establish a nice space and a good atmosphere for either if you just love films and you want to see some films, or you want to network and meet other filmmakers from the area or even from surrounding areas, you know, picking their brains, asking them questions, all sorts. You know, we just want a really nice hub where everyone's talking to each other maybe people start collaborating, or maybe they just want to see some films. That's what we like to achieve.
So a little bit told me you might need some people to be involved in the actual network as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're always looking to expand and push Brainwash Manchester. So if you want to get involved in any way, help curate it or whatever, get in touch with me or Mike on the night, or if you go to the website brainwashonline.co.uk and send us an email there, we'll get back in touch and, you know, hopefully you can be part of the team.
Brainwash takes place at Corner House this Friday, the 28th of October, in our Annex Function Room, and you can reserve your free ticket online. Just go to cornerhouse.org and search Brainwash.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Now, for Halloween this year, Corner House is intent on bringing you an event filled with pus, bile, blood and guts, with a large dose of black humour to boot. We caught up with Corner House front of house manager Marshall Trower and projectionist Tom Summers to tell us more about the late night film screening this year, The Evil Dead.
Yeah, just want to talk about The Evil Dead, which was released in the early 80s on a dual format of video and at the cinema. It is a great film, but the sort of forgotten history of it, as well as a lot of British video, is all the video nasty controversy, which kicked off in the early 80s. Loads of films sort of fell in this remit of the video nasties list, this famous list of anywhere between 32 and 36 films. There's loads of stuff on there, but a lot of the pressure groups front of like Mary Whitehouse and a lot of the pressure from MPs like Graham Bright focused on The Evil Dead, so it did get dubbed as the number one nasty. Unfortunately, for as great a film it was, it did get, you know, raided, copies of it got confiscated.
Silly. I mean, if you actually watch the film, then it's more of a comedy film than a kind of disgusting, you know, abomination that Mary Whitehouse made it sound like it was.
Yeah, I was just going to lead on to that with the then censor James Furman said it's more of a parody on horror film. Instead of trying to disgust, it's playing up to other films that overly use violence and gore.
Yeah, it's playing up to a lot of, I think Sam Raimi was a big Three Stooges fan as well, so to me it feels like a kind of, just a horror version of the Three Stooges, like sort of Larry, Curly and Moe going to the woods, yeah, and just being silly, whacking each other with sticks.
Yeah, on that, a lot of the horror and what's in the film does come across as ridiculous. Like, you know, you try and describe it, there's a scene where he dismembers a woman with an axe, there's another scene where he beats a zombie with a sleeper for a good few minutes. Yeah, you know, they sound horrible, but when you're actually watching the film, they're so sort of contrived and ridiculous. It just comes across as comedy, and I think that's one of the big strengths of the film.
I mean, for such a low-budget film, it's really good-looking, kind of. I mean, I know it's over-the-top and silly, but the kind of gore effects in it are amazing, I think. Well, there's an amazing claymation scene towards the end of it, and I think they use half claymation, half live-action, and it gives this really odd look.
If you're not familiar with the plot, which I'd be surprised if people aren't, because it is such a staple of sort of horror cinema, essentially, it's a haunted house story where you get the cliche of a group of teenagers going on holiday to a log cabin where they unwittingly release the forces of darkness by reading some texts from the Book of the Dead.
That was the original title of the film, but one of the studio execs said, people are going to think they're going to be reading for 90 minutes, so that's no good. So they had to change it to The Evil Dead, which I guess makes sense. Although at the time they said that they thought it was the stupidest decision ever.
Yeah, because they are always right, studio execs, obviously. Yeah. But it's a well-used sort of plot. And as I say, it comes into cliche now. But obviously when he did it, it wasn't a cliche. He sort of helped create that sort of staple of having teenagers getting slaughtered. But yeah, the plots, to be honest, the plot and the acting isn't really why you watch this film.
I think that's why, for me, the films get more stupid. Like, because the second one, they try and explain the book more, and then the third one's just set in the past, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it just becomes ridiculous. But sort of that's sort of part of the pleasure in the film, is just how daft the whole thing is. Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously at all either, which is good. Well, for any sort of, you know, real film studies fans or anyone with a real interest in cinema, there's loads of, you know, interesting stuff in there, as well as its sort of big horror and video nasties history that it's got. There's also loads of interesting stuff about how his use of camera techniques, and I still think even today, after the Spider-Man stuff, The Evil Dead is Sam Raimi's most inventive film.
Well, he invented sort of, I mean, most of it was out of budget reasons, but he invented the shaky cam, which was sort of a camera attached to a 2x4 and two people kind of held it and ran, and that's how they got that weird force effect, you know, where it's chasing after Bruce Campbell through the cabin. They also invented something called the rammer cam, which was just another 2x4 attached to the top of it so they could literally ram through windows and sort of smash them as they went through it. I'm trying to think what else. He also created the Vaso cam, which was just Vaseline on a table, and they slid the camera across it. So, which is pretty much a dolly, but it's just out of budgetary reasons that they made these.
But on sort of purely cinematic purposes, you've got a young filmmaker presented with problems who comes up with solutions, and you find with his later stuff, like the Spider-Man films, he doesn't have to be as inventive because he's got a big budget, he can do stuff with CGI, you know, he doesn't have to think on his feet as much, but because he didn't have that option with The Evil Dead, you actually get really inventive, creative cinema where he's, you know, making his own answers.
The Evil Dead screens at 11 p.m. on Saturday the 29th of October. Tickets are selling fast, so we'd recommend booking online if you don't want to miss it.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Now it's time for our staff recommendation of the week. Here's Programme and Communications Assistant Ella Swain with a great place to eat out in the city centre.
This week I'd like to recommend a Korean restaurant called Baked Do. It's on the border of Shude Hill and the Northern Quarter, and I wouldn't really say that I'm an expert on Korean food, but I've been told that the food is quite traditional and very authentic. I pretty much have the same thing every time I go because it's really good and I always regret it if I don't order it. It's called So Beef Bulgogi and it's sort of basically a beef stir fry. It's really tasty, it's quite simple but it's amazing. With rice and kimchi, which if you've not tried it, it's sort of like a Korean staple side dish of pickled vegetables and loads of chilli, and that's also really, really good and addictive. If you're into sushi, they do really good sushi plates, quite simple, but really good value. You can get a sharing plate for about a tenner. They do these amazing looking hot pots, which you can share with four people, like noodle soups and sort of loads more different types of dishes. And it's amazing value. The last time I went was with two of my friends and we all ordered far too much food and it came in at about 50 quid, which is quite impressive. It's quite sort of simple and sparse inside, white walls, basic tables and chairs, and an open kitchen. But it's always quite busy in the evenings with young Koreans and families, which is a reassuring sign. It doesn't have a website, but if you want to find it, the address is 77 Shude Hill. And it's just behind the Printworks, near Shude Hill Station, and just to the right of Northern Quarter. And I definitely recommend it.
And that's it. As ever, if you'd like more information about film, art and events at Corner House, visit cornerhouse.org, follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. Next Thursday we'll be talking about George Clooney's fourth feature as director, The Ides of March, so don't forget to tune in.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast.